Hey, before you get into today's episode of The Michael K. Show, it's Peter Rosenberg, and I just want to tell you, wherever you find your Michael K. Show podcast, go search for Cheap Heat and listen to this week's episode of Cheap Heat. We're talking everything going on in the world of pro wrestling, and there is a lot going on inside and outside of the ring. Check it out. Myself, Stat Guy Greg, Cheap Heat, wherever you find ESPN podcasts.
This is an
ESPN
special report. Now reporting.
I'm your big daddy, and I want to be referred to as such.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
It's not fair.
I'm an Andrew Gunling fan.
Just take the L.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's Andrew Gunling.
You couldn't possibly understand the hurt.
That's right. Andrew Gunling filling in for Peter Rosenberg here on a Friday edition of PNN as people head into their weekends. I hope everybody's being safe. Michael, how are you?
We've got questions about the pizza.
And Don, how are you?
What? That's been overused a bit, don't you think, Michael?
Andrew, let's get right to it. Before you get to all your stories, you are the officiant at your sister's wedding.
I know.
Tomorrow, right?
Yeah, tomorrow afternoon.
Do you
officiating
have
her wedding.
A speech?
Pretty much. Maybe
Is
a
it
few
lengthy,
late revisions.
Like I've warned you against?
Well, let me just ask you. It's not just a speech. I mean, it's the officiant ceremony. So that are you factoring in like their vows and all like the stuff that
they have vows. Well, your family is chatty, so I'm sure your sister is going to talk a lot.
Well, what is a normal length for a wedding ceremony?
Do you blank blank take you blank blank and do you blank blank take you blank blank? All right, now you're man and wife.
So Let's you believe a wedding ceremony should last about 18 seconds?
Maybe a minute. Don, your thoughts.
Well, that's what people are hoping. Get to the food as quickly as possible. Right? You have a room full of something that people want. And then you speak. I think Michael will agree because he told me. People don't care what you have to say. They want to get to the food. So, heartfelt, anything more than a minute, you're Tonkaing yourself.
Right, because if you go long, then you're bringing all the attention to yourself, and the attention should be on your beautiful sister.
And you two have been to weddings before, right?
Yes, like, many.
Yeah.
I was actually in a few.
A one-minute ceremony.
How long was my ceremony? Not long. Not long at all.
It was probably normal length, 10 to 15 minutes.
No, I think it was short.
I don't think it was 10 to 15 minutes, Michael.
No, I think it was less than 10 minutes. Once we got to the altar, boom, it was over. But you know what? It's none of my business, Andrew.
Well, look, first of all, it's not going to be a conventional wedding with, 150 people, 85% of whom, like you said, are just interested in getting to the food and the dancing. This wedding is different. This is a coronavirus quarantine wedding. So it's immediate family only. It's going to be like somewhere around 15 people.
Boom. So
parents,
it doesn't have to be long.
Siblings.
That's more reason it shouldn't be long.
Will there be food?
But if
there?
I walk up there, afterwards there'll be food, sure.
Well, there you go.
But if I walk up there in front of all my immediate family and just say, Jess, you take Dan, do you take Jess? All right, let's go. Like, my mom may never speak to me again.
Well, Gunling family does like length. Give them an hour.
Can you give us a trailer?
A trailer. I don't have it in front of me, and I also don't have it memorized. I hope that's also not an officiant foul. But
I've never. This is going to be controversial. I've never understood, like, when you go to a wedding and a man of the cloth is doing the ceremony, and they have to read it off a book, read it out of the Bible. You've done this millions of times. Shouldn't it be memorized?
You would think. Now, this is totally non-denominational, so there won't be any religion involved. I have nowhere to go but up, though, from how my wedding was, because I don't know if you guys remember the ceremony at my wedding. The officiant mispronounced my last name the entire time. He kept referring to us as the Grunlings. Oh, the Grunlings this and the Grunlings that. And once, because he's trying to give off the illusion,
he
wasn't
you.
A guy that I really know. He's trying, but like, you would like him to give off the illusion that he knows you, that there's some kind of personal touch to it. And the second he opens his mouth and mispronounces your name, that's it. It's over. So
now,
I can only do better than that.
Jay-Z and Beyonce make it to your wedding? I don't remember seeing them.
They declined. Hmm. They declined. Sent a beautiful gift, though.
Of course. Yeah. They've got money.
But yeah, congrats to my sister and, yes, and her fiance Dan. It's going to be, I can't wait. It's going to be really, I'm
sure
very
you're
happy
do
for
a terrific job. We're having some fun. You do what you feel is right. You know the room better than we do. You'll be great.
All right, so Don's being nice. You do what I tell you to do, and it'll be much better.
I'll listen to you, Don. Thanks okay. for the advice. Let's see, guys. You mentioned before the Adam Silver conference call. Some of the other bullet points here that came from that that I think are also kind of important. He said that he's come to the realization that we can't outrun the virus and that no options are risk-free right now in terms of where to play, but he believes the closed campus environment is the best option available to the league. I also said that the level of concern has increased amid the resurgence of positive cases, not only in Florida, but across the U.S. He said the league is continuing to work with Disney on the testing of some of their employees that could potentially be in the same room as the players. He also was asked about if a superstar tests positive. Silver said there would be no delay in the schedule while that player is quarantined, which is probably the right answer. I mean, I would hate for a player of that caliber to test positive, but to delay the restart over one guy seems kind of,
I wonder if they delay a finals.
No.
What if it was the Lakers against the Bucks and both Giannis and LeBron were a couple of days away from returning? Would you delay it?
That would still look bad. I understand the sentiment, but it would look that all throughout this process, players have tested positive and you marched on, and then all of a sudden two of the biggest names and you delay?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, as a fan, I'll say this, as a fan I would want them to, and I'm sure the league would want to, because if the title is going to have any credibility, you know, you would think they would want as many good players out there as possible.
And I'm especially sure ABC on the heels. Would want it.
Yeah, especially on the heels of a final last year that lost out on Kevin Durant for the vast majority of it and then Klay Thompson for the deciding game. So, yeah, they would probably not like to see that 2 years in a row. And Silver also said a significant amount of positives ultimately might lead us to stop and play, but that no final decisions have been made on that just yet.
Also said they're going to have virtual halftime concerts and stuff like that. So, and they're going to bathe the courts and the lights of the home team and stuff like that. I mean, they know what they're doing. And again, I don't like the fact that the people that will be working at the hotel are not quarantined. I don't understand that. It makes no sense. It almost kills the fact that the players are quarantined. Somebody wrote to me, well, you'd have to be paying these people 24 hours a day rather than their 8-hour shift. Okay. Yeah. So what? Mm-hmm. They've got the money. And it would be a great financial boost for those people that are doing that. And I think that they would stay there for 3 months if they could get paid triple.
Yeah. And I would say also, you know, if they were going to do that, don't necessarily make it mandatory, but I'm sure, you know, they could go through their employees and find out which ones would be interested and do it like that rather than force somebody who was strongly against it. I think they could probably make that work. The NBA and the union said that of the 302 players that were tested this past Tuesday for coronavirus, just 16 came back positive. Any player who tested positive is going to remain in self-isolation until he satisfies public health protocols and is cleared by a physician. Brian Windhorst was on the Hoop Collective. He talked about this. He was talking about how the NBA feels about the 16 positive tests.
You know, the 5% number is a bit of a relief to the league. It's in the same zone as the NFL had announced last week. I hate to use the word acceptable, but this is where they're at. They're accepting this number. But I have to say there's another side to this. The NBA only announced 302 players. There's expected to be more than 340, maybe more than 350 players going to Orlando. So there's some missing men in here. And tests that were done overseas or outside of the team's facilities. So there's positive tests in here that are not accounted for.
But still, the percentages, I think, are workable or manageable. Nobody wants to be insensitive to the 16 players that tested positive, but if you're working off that low a percentage, that gives you an idea of what they're comfortable with. But it's interesting, Michael. I've gone on Twitter where people see that number and go, this is a perfect reason why we shouldn't play. This is ridiculous.
I think that number's good.
But you said it earlier, and I agree with you. That's actually, I think, a pretty decent percentage to move forward. So it's going to be in the eye of the beholder. But if anybody thinks that this is going to go off without a hitch, I mean, you're just way overly optimistic. We're going to see positive tests in all these sports. And like your analogy about pornography, we'll know when we see it. You know, if we see a certain spike and it looks like it's ridiculous to move on, then maybe we'll have some agreement on it. But right now, positive tests are not going to stop these sports from moving forward.
I'm going to step away for 1 second as I have a little bit of an emergency here in the house. Hopefully we'll be back in a minute.
Okay.
Oh my God. Wow. And we
stay focused,
move
Andrew.
Forward.
Let's see if we can get through this together as a team.
Oh my God. This is harrowing. I know Michael mentioned earlier that today's Derek Jeter's birthday. It's also Rudy Gobert's birthday. And it's hard for me to, I felt like this was the time to mention that given us talking about positive coronavirus tests in the NBA.
And I keep thinking about him when if there's an irresponsible player, right? Like you already see that there's friction inside that Jazz room because of his antics before he tested positive, right? So how do you think a player is going to be received if he tests positive because he went out or disobeyed the rules?
Yeah. I mean, hopefully, I know it's obviously not what Rudy Gobert wanted his legacy in this to be, but hopefully by him doing that, it kind of served as right out of the gate, the ultimate lesson to future players to just take it as seriously as possible. I'm sure not everyone will, but you can only hope. And we mentioned Kevin Durant before saying he would probably lean towards not playing in the bubble, not quite to Durant's level, but Willie Cauley-Stein of the Dallas Mavericks, he has now said that he's opted out. That's according to The Athletic. And then in baseball, I know Michael had mentioned the possibility of baseball players maybe deciding to opt out. Chapman said he's still not sure what he's going to do. He's been writing sort of like a running diary for the Associated Press. And in it, he says this, Don. He says, I'm still deciding whether to play. When it comes down to it, it's a decision for not just me, but for my family as well. I have a 3-week-old baby. My mother has multiple sclerosis and is super high risk. If I end up playing, I can pretty much throw out the idea of seeing her until week after the season is over. There's a lot of factors that I and others have to consider. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. It's everybody's individual choice.
Who was that? That was talking, Andrew?
You broke up as you were saying the name.
Who?
I'm sorry. It was Ryan Zimmerman of the Nationals.
Oh, wow. I think the people Trout's wife is pregnant. Garrett Cole's wife is pregnant. Bryce Harper's wife is pregnant. Those are three of the biggest stars in the game. What do they choose to do?
Well, how far along is Cole's wife?
I think sometime in July. Same thing with Trout.
Well, even if he decides to play, Michael, there's a very good chance if he wants to take a paternity leave, he could miss a couple of starts. Well, that's 20% of the starts he's going to make in the season. Right?
Yeah, but usually a paternity leave is maybe 4 or 5 days.
Well, I guess it depends on the timing, right?
Right.
Like, if she goes into labor the day he's supposed to pitch and then takes the 5 days, he might miss 2 starts, right? Mm. I don't know.
Yeah. Ryan Zimmerman, also in that same post, he went on to say that the, quote, bubble is only as good as the people inside of it. He said it's not like there's going to be coronavirus police on the hotel floor, so it's going to come down to the players and everyone involved and what they do with each other every second of their day.
And I think a lot of it, we said this earlier in the show, it's players have to police themselves. And, I mean, I don't know if a manager could, like, scold a player for going out. It's got to be the guys looking the guys in the eyes and say, listen, you're playing with our money here. You're playing with our lives. Okay, have fun when it's over.
Listen, Michael, you know players better than anybody. You've been around them your entire career. They don't go out as individuals. They go out together. Right? So,
no, some guys are lone wolves.
We were talking about when you stepped away, Michael, do you want to be that guy? You're the guy that brought down the team. You're the guy where the team would have won a championship if it were not for you. Would you be able to, if you're not a great player, you may never play baseball again.
I would be able to handle it, but I mean, again, famous athletes have different mindsets than us. I don't know. I would say that everybody would be affected adversely, and you'd have a scarlet letter attached to you for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Let's see, guys. A little more fallout from the Knicks hiring of World Wide West. Yesterday, Larry Brown and Stephen A. Smith both gave hiring a big stamp of approval. Then we heard Stephon Marbury kind of knock the move. Today, former Knick Jamal Crawford, he was on with Barton Hahn. He said Wes will be great for the Knicks.
So I've known him literally since, 23, 24 years ago. I'm aging myself, but a long, long time ago. And he's always been the same person. Never changed up. Always been about people and about kids, and this business is relationships as well. You know, so to go that amount of time and not piss people off or not burn any bridges and be able to get in contact with these great players and these, you know, up and coming players and be in the loop with that, I think it's a win-win for the Knicks.
I don't see how it's a bad thing. I really don't. I was so stunned what Marbury said, but Marbury must know something that maybe we don't. But if you could get a guy who's like locked in with the biggest players in the world, forget about getting them to come to the Knicks as free agents. That's a guy who moves the needle in terms of relationships. I think that's important.
Yeah. Crawford, in that interview with Barton Hunt, also spoke about this idea of the Knicks not being cool and which coach would help them in that category.
A head coach like a Mike Woodson, I think a head coach like a Mark Jackson, those type of guys who have experienced New York in one way or another. Woody is the coach and Mark Jackson is the player, guys who have coached at high levels before, I think can make them even cooler. I mean, think about it. Woody was the coach of the last good team that went to the playoffs.
That's right.
You know, so and he never really got a chance to finish the job.
I like Mike Woodson, but cool doesn't seem like it's a part of the resume. I mean, he's a nice man, and he certainly was the last coach that made the playoffs here, but would you look at him as a cool coach? Maybe players do. I can't speak for them, but, I mean, from the outside looking in, he looks like, you know, a workman-like NBA guy. Well, I mean, David Fizdale was a cool coach, right?
Exactly.
How'd that work out?
The only thing, Don, I know you've said this so many times, what's cool is winning. Whatever coach you think will get you to win, that will make your team look cool. Because you're right, David Fizdale was supposed to be a really cool guy, and he barely lasted a season. Also, by the way, the Knicks waived Alonzo Trier today and signed Theo Pinson, who had previously been waived by the Nets. Michael, at least one team has been listening to you, at least one team here in the United States, the San Francisco Giants. Not going to have fans in the stands, but they will have some sort of cardboard cutout feature. The Giants fan cutout program is going to give fans the chance to see themselves ideally near wherever their season tickets are. It's for no extra cost if you are a season ticket holder. And then non-season ticket holders will also be involved for $99, which kind of sounds like a lot. But
that's a lot.
For a cardboard cutout.
Maybe the Yankees will do it
for
all of their, you know, for all of the legend seats, because those are the seats that are in the camera shot. And I just thought if you charge everybody $20, that's much more reasonable. You'd raise a lot of money for charity.
Well, did the Giants say they were raising it for charity or just taking the $99 and pocketing it? Was that for charity?
You know what I actually...
Andrew, is it $99 a game or is it $99 for the whole year?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
$99 for the game?
That.
Come on. I mean, how much disposable income?
How
badly
it cannot,
do you want to be seen on TV?
People love TV. You see how people act when they get up on the scoreboard. They act like they just won the Academy Award.
I know, but they don't pay for it.
Well, they paid to get into the ballpark.
Yeah, but not for that. Yeah, they get crazy for the camera. But if I asked for a $99 donation, I think they would run from the camera.
We'll see.
Two more real quick ones. We mentioned yesterday how certain baseball teams are considering allowing fans back into the stadium. Along those lines, the Indianapolis 500, which was moved to late August, they've said they're going to allow 50% capacity, which for that place is an unbelievable amount of people. It's a little difficult to find the actual capacity number. I guess it sometimes varies for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, but the grandstand is estimated at 235,000. So, wow, you're still talking about over 100,000 people.
You can't do that. Because
I want to see who shows up.
Even if you social distance, you're still talking about those people all going in. They're not going to all go in at the same time? What, are you going to have like 1,000 people every like 10 minutes go in so they can social distance? That seems like an awful lot of people going anywhere. I don't care how big the place is.
Let's put it this way, okay? So last weekend, as a treat, you know, we've been in the house a long time. We took the kids to Dairy Queen. There's a Dairy Queen in the next town over. And it's an outdoor Dairy Queen, so you have to wait online. And they've got these big circles 6 feet away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is Dairy Queen. Now, blizzards are tremendous.
They
but it's
are.
Dairy Queen.
Oh, yeah.
The line was down the block.
Of course it was. You
so
know
can
why?
You imagine 125,000 people getting into the Indianapolis 500?
How are they doing in Indiana? Like, are the numbers like non-existent where they can feel comfortable with that?
They also said they're going to be fans at the Derby, right?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think I read that the Kentucky Derby plans to have fans. Good luck.
Yeah.
But a mint julep, I heard, kills the virus, Michael.
It kills a lot of things.
I think that's why they're going to allow everybody to go in because of that factor. So that's very underrated, by the way.
Last one here for you guys. On this day in 2003, probably one of the most important draft picks of this era.
With the first pick in the 2003 NBA draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers select LeBron James.
Oh, trivia question.
That's right.
Trivia question, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
Who hosted the draft lottery for ESPN Radio for that draft?
That night?
It's got to be Jim Gray, right?
No, that's a good poll, Michael. Hosted the draft lottery for ESPN Radio.
You familiar with the work of David Blow?
Was it you?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Wow.
Donald Marco LaGreca. That's right. Right in Secaucus.
Look at
for
you.
The draft.
Look at you.
And that's a nice Tales from the Crib when I'm on the air. They're a little studio, little booth. And I'm facing away from the door. And Gordon Gund comes in, the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers, to be interviewed by me for winning the draft lottery. But I'm on the air at the time, so I stick out my hand to shake it.
And
he's not shaking
Gund
my hand.
He's blind.
Because he's blind. I found that out that particular moment. It was no problem. He didn't see it. It'll work, but because I couldn't see. I mean, clearly I would have seen if I was able to turn my head, but it was like a little makeshift studio they put together in Secaucus. Yes, wow. That was very nice that they that John Martin gave a chance on a little boy at the time.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway, to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claims service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.